Hearing nothing, I think we move on to item four, administrator's report. You want to head on with that, Tom?
Sounds good. Thank you so much, Dale. Thanks, everybody. Good to see everybody. I'm going to slide this presentation over here. I hope you can all see my screen.
Can.
Great. This is the transient parking activity trend report. In this edition, we are comparing September of 2024 transient parking revenue versus August of 2024. And we have our usual suspects here up on the screen. I'll just go through them. Pennington Garage saw an uptick of $15,000 compared to the month prior. So good showing there. Depot Garage had a very good uptick of 50% month over month there. Centro Garage also had a nice uptick of 11%. The Library Garage is the only outlier with a negative here. We lost $3,000 versus the month prior. And we are looking into the reasons why. $7,000 for August is historically high. So, you know, we do see numbers generally in the $4,000 or $5,000 range for library. So instead of focusing on the negative, I think I have to focus on the positive that August was a high performer for us. We're looking into any special events or additional parking that was created at Library Garage in August. And the Folk Festival. I did hear back from one of my coworkers. The Folk Festival occurred. You know what? I'm not sure. JR, was that Folk Festival in August?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, it wasn't. That was, sorry. Okay. Scratch that. We're going to get back to you on a good reason why August was so high. But anyways, down 40% there. City State, a $951 difference. The Tool Lot, a $900 increase there. Triangle, up 13%. Arts District Lot, a big increase of 73%. Franklin Lot, pretty even. Negligible difference there. And the Warehouse Lot, a small increase of $268. So overall, September, I think, was a good performer. We do have a number of festivals and meets happening down in downtown. So I think that led to it with the end of summer and beginning of the festival and special event season. We're seeing those numbers start to come in. So I'll take any questions about this report.
I don't have any. Do you have any, Ginny?
I don't. Thank you, though.
Okay, great. Moving on. I'll stop sharing that. Moving on to our on-street parking meter status report. We have good news that 276 meters have returned back to us from repairs in San Diego at the IPS shop there in San Diego. These meters, it was a combination of basic repairs and upgrades in the modem from 2G to 4G. We had not been able to upgrade all of our meters to 4G until now. We did many of those over the past year or two, but now we've caught up. So our meter install team is hard at work getting those 276 meters back in service in the field. It's probably gonna take them a couple weeks to get through all those installations, but they are working hard to get those meters back into the field. So our in-service rate for our meters will increase here in the next couple weeks, and we hope to maintain that. We'll stay up to speed on replacing backup batteries as needed. They are quite expensive. These repairs and backup batteries are quite expensive, but well worth it in terms of ROI. So that's the parking meter status report. I'll take any questions there.
Hearing none, I think we can move on.
Okay, parking service agent staffing levels. This past Monday and Tuesday, the 14th and 15th, staff held interviews with a number of candidates to fill our four open parking service agent one positions. We have made offers to the successful candidates, and we're just waiting to hear back. So it is possible we could hear back some results by tomorrow, if not Monday. And we're hoping that we have four folks that have accepted the position, and we expect onboarding within 3 weeks. And we're going to try to shave off as many days within the next 3 weeks as we can to try to get them here on our staff. We're filling those four parking service one positions. We do have two parking service agent two positions open. We can't fill those unless a parking service agent one has 1 year of experience. That's the threshold to move up to a two. And unfortunately, right now, our ones are a little light in the experience, definitely under a year for everybody here. So we're probably going to have those two positions open up until early next year. But as soon as some ones hit that 1 year mark, we'll get them into the two positions. Hopefully some good news there. And as far as retention, internally, we are looking at a possibility of reclassifying the position, which would create a higher hourly wage. So we are looking at increasing the hourly wage rate of the parking service agents. Have not made concrete progress yet. We're in a brainstorming mode right now and seeing if this revised position description can fit our needs. And Andy's been great with support for that. And we're going to work with our HR department to see if we can get that accomplished. I don't want to put a hard timeline on that. Hopefully by the end of this year would be great. But that's what we're looking at, brainstorming on how we can reclassify, increase the hourly wage. And this is all in support of retention efforts. We have had issues with retention of the agents. So hourly wage is one of the main factors in retention. So that's my update, and I'll take any questions on the staffing.
Hey, Tom, this is Janine. I was just wondering if the time of the year also impacts you. I've got to think that being an agent during the summer months would be particularly difficult.
Yes. I think with the last class, we hired three agents during the summer, and they all left during the summer.
Yeah.
They didn't stick around very long. So I have to definitely say from this last batch, the time of year did play a role in that. JR, if you have anything to add from your previous experience for the time of year.
Summers are definitely pretty rough on people. They're walking 4 to 6 hours a day usually in the heat. So that definitely is a wearing factor on keeping people.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm just hoping that, we're heading into the cooler months. Maybe we will, have a good staff that sticks with us for the next, 6-7 months.
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks, Jeannie. I do hope that with the winter months, it'll help keep them here longer, and hopefully they'll stick out through the next summer. And, we try everything we can to provide. The city does provide, heat illness prevention resources. We have all kinds of equipment, including camelbacks, hats, sunglasses, sunscreen, water bottles. It's all supplied to them. The city has a heat ordinance that we have to follow, and that includes, training about heat illness prevention. We had a tailgate meeting with the team during the summer about that topic, and we encourage, frequent breaks to get out of the sun into the shade or inside to cooler conditions. So we're really pushing on the heat illness prevention here at the city.
Okay.
Great, thank you. The next item, the last item, I wanted to ask Trudy to give a brief summary of our five-year plan. And I should have in the agenda said it's a financial five-year plan. It's related to finances. And just wanted to give you guys a brief summary of what we're working on. So if you don't mind, Trudy, share a little bit about that.
So we were asked by the central team to create a five-year plan for Park Tucson so that we can show when we're going to be able to overcome our deficit. And so I've started formulating it. It's not ready yet, but we did all talk, the finance team in Park Tucson, about where we are going to make more money. And so, of course, we had the rate increases in the garage and the evening and weekend flat rate increase that is going to help us bring in more revenue. And if we keep our expenses under control, it looks like we will actually get ourselves out of debt in FY25. So that will be good. We are looking to close the year with a surplus. So we, like I said, we are still formulating it. It's in the early stages, but if you would like to see that five-year plan, we will be prepared to present that at the next Financial Commission meeting.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. That's the number one financial problem as far as where this committee's at is how do we get back on top of things? And that's the big question, and I'll be happy to be pleased to see another updated estimate of how we think we can get there.
Yep, so we will be ready to show that next time. All right, if we don't have any other questions on that, we can move into the financial documents.
Well, you were saying we move into the financial statements, or?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I think we got an agenda item in between. Proposed extended meter enforcement hours communication plan.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
No problem. thank you, guys. I should have kind of reversed those items. It would have made more sense if we moved into the financial statements, but we'll go in order of the agenda. Thank you, Dale. Okay. I'm going to share my screen again, and I'd like to show you a letter of communication that we have ready drafted. And here is the letter on your screen. And as you know, the committee and the commission have been talking about the proposed extended meter enforcement hours. As you recall, the commission voted to proceed with the 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday extension. And that's what we are going forward with. The next phase of this rollout is the stakeholder outreach and engagement. So this letter, which is dated today, we might not get this out today, but we are pretty confident we'll get this out tomorrow. We do have some directors that need to still review this. In any event, the letter has good information about our plan. It's stating that we are proposing the new meter enforcement hours, Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Currently, our meters are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Meter spaces are currently free after 5 on weekdays and all weekends. But meter parking will continue to be free after 8 p.m. and all day Sundays with this proposal. No time limits will be in place after 5 p.m. Posted signs will designate paid parking between 5 p.m. and 8 p.m. So we just really want to make that clear, because on the signs currently, for example, it'll say 2-hour parking, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Well, on that space, that will still be in play. It'll still say 2-hour parking, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., but it will then state paid parking between 5 p.m. and 8 p.m. So no time limit there. You can leave your car there. And we did dig into the parking code and verified with our city attorney that if your car is parked before 5 p.m. and you're paid before 5, you can continue to leave your car in the same place, same paid parking spot, granted that you pay. So the car can still stay there. And we did hear a request to keep that in place from a ward council member and some business owners already, because they were fearful that we would cause an inconvenience if you needed to move your car after you've parked it for dinner and a show, for example, here downtown. So pending approval by the Park Tucson Commission, we are planning to begin rollout of the extended hours in early 2025. As you know, we deploy these meters in four general areas: downtown Tucson, 4th Avenue, Main Gate, Mercado — I'll call that the fifth district, really it's going to be five districts — and the University of Arizona. Mercado is new because we don't currently have meters at the Mercado district. It is time restricted currently, but Mercado is fully on board with us to roll out paid parking at Mercado. We've already met with them, and we're finalizing details on where these specific meters will be versus pay stations. So it's going to be a mixture of a pay station where you can pay for multiple spaces at one of those stations, or single metered parking. So we're just finalizing the plan there. Downtown and Mercado would be the first districts to have these meter extended hours rolled out, followed by 4th Avenue. That would be accomplished after Downtown Links is complete. The estimated time for that completion is March, I believe, of 25. So it would happen after March for 4th Avenue. And followed by Main Gate, University of Arizona. We would want to do that during a school break. And I don't think we're going to squeeze it into the spring break, but we will deploy it during the summer break. So that looks like right around the beginning of June, late May, early June. So anyways, the letter goes into details about why we're doing this. It's a critical resource supporting retailers, encouraging turnover. There are no proposed changes to the rates. They will still be $1 an hour. The parking time limits are not changing, and the way you pay for the meters do not change. So here's where our feedback section is. And we are seeking feedback from business owners. We've created a website that I will give you a sneak peek at here in a moment. This QR code takes you to the website. And we're going to have two virtual open houses, one next Wednesday, October 23rd at 5:30 p.m. and the following Tuesday, October 29th at 5:30 p.m. So during those town hall open house meetings, I'll give a short presentation about the information, proposed hours, reasons why, and we will accept questions and comments. And we're asking for feedback to be provided before Monday, November 4th. We will then compile the feedback. I will share that with our executive team and, of course, with the Park Tucson Commission. And in the November Park Tucson Commission meeting, we'll give a summary of how this outreach turned out, and request the go-ahead to roll this out in early 25. So here is what the website looks like. It's not live yet, but we can push the button at any time to go live. So very similar to the letter I just read to you. So it's gonna be available on the Park Tucson website. And once again, talks about the times, the reasons why. It goes a little bit deeper into the background. There's a little history here, talking about this since 22, talked about the Park Tucson Commission's recommendation to select the option of Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. We do have a link here to our curb management study. This is what the curb management study looks like. It's 266 pages long, but this does go into reasons why it is necessary to achieve a 75 to 85% occupancy rate on the streets. That's a good kind of a sweet spot, because it ensures we're using a majority of the parking, but there is still always available parking for someone that wants to come in downtown and pay for a convenient parking spot. So so this report does go into details if anybody wants to read that. We do provide a summary of that here on the website. And we do compare our proposal to other cities in the southwestern United States, two cities around universities in the state of Arizona. We compare ourselves to Phoenix, Vegas, Albuquerque, El Paso, and Colorado Springs. And the summary is that Tucson is the largest city by population in this region that does not charge for on-street parking in downtown after 5 or on Saturdays. Every other city here does charge on Saturdays, and they go past 5 o'clock. So at the bottom is a link for a survey, and this is where we're going to collect comments. This survey asks you to identify your interest, you know, whether you're a business owner, employee, or resident, or other. We have a quick 1 through 5 scale on whether you are in favor of extending the meter enforcement hours, and a box to enter your comments. Oops. So that is what the survey looks like. And I'm sorry, that was the, I wanted to get back to the website here. I apologize. I know, but I actually have to go back. There we go. Sorry. So here's information for the upcoming open house meetings. We have the information for October 23rd, and then we have the information for October 29th. And then several frequently asked questions. What are the proposed extended meter enforcement hours? The reasons why? When this will go into effect, early 25? Here is another link to the survey to submit feedback. Meter rates are not increasing. Meter parking time limits are not changing. And of course, payment information. So yeah, there's our website. And we also have a communication plan that I wanted to share with you here. Oops, that's not it. Of course, I just lost that one. Let's see where that went. Ah, sorry, guys. Hold on 1 second. Let me try to find this for you. Thought I had it up right here. It's essentially a summary of our communication. Okay, I found it. Okay, so our communication plan, not going to repeat all this stuff. We just talked about that. We have a timeline of when we're looking to conduct the outreach, you know, during October. Part Tucson Commission meeting November 26th to provide direction. Continued general outreach to the public in November and December. And early 25, implementing the changes. We're going to send the letter, as we mentioned. We have the website, the online survey, open houses. We're also going to issue a press release. We will post on social media. We're going to create a flyer that will be distributed to businesses and residents. Oh, and the merchant meeting. I am scheduled to present to the Downtown Tucson Partnership Merchants Association meeting on Halloween, October 31st. I'll be at that meeting. Additional neighborhood meetings as needed. I know I will be presenting to Mercado businesses as well. And I'll be reaching out additionally to neighborhood associations that have parking meters in them. We'll conduct media interviews as requested, and yeah, this is essentially a summary, a little detailed summary of what I was just talking about. We'll continue newsletters and emails to as many stakeholders as possible, and yeah, that was pretty much it as far as our communication plan. So hope to get that out tomorrow. and I'll take any questions.
I had one question, and it goes back to the meters that since we've got all the meters fixed, are you now in a position to have enough meters to extend into the Mercado area?
Yes. In fact, we already have those meters in stock in our storage. We purchased them, and we have them ready to go.
Oh, great. Great. Okay, that was my only question. Do you have anything, Gina?
No, thank you.
Okay. Very good. I think we move forward to item six on the financial statements. Thank you for waiting, Judy.
All right, no problem. Bye. That one. All right, so let me make this a little bit bigger. All right, so our revenues are looking pretty good for the year. For the garages and lots, we are trending a little bit higher, not much. Our on-street programs are a little bit below for this time of last year. So we are actually looking at September numbers. All right, and then our permit program is up a little bit from last year, and our citations are also up a little bit, so that's good.
Yep. Yeah, it's good to see citations start to come back.
Right, right. And so we do have a little bit of an increase in revenues overall from last year at this time. Something I had pointed out last time, the portion of the citations that we do collect that gets paid over to the general fund, that wasn't tracked on a monthly basis last year. It was all done at once. So we'll notice that each month accumulating, and we'll see the previous year is zero. All right. And our expenses are a little bit lower than last year. All right, when we look at our overall expenses, it is the same type of situation. We had not accounted for our debt service in this month, and so that's why it's looking like it's a little inflated this year, but it's only because it's posted correctly. On that note, I did want to point out I provided the debt service, the total debt service last time, and I had made an error. The LED lighting debt service is shared with the HERF fund as well. So I put in the whole amount that is owed for LED service, and that was incorrect. So this is what it actually is. I had it at $9 million. Really, Park Tucson has $5 million in debt service. So we will add that to the financial statements if you feel like that is important to share during the full commission meeting.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. So.
Okay. All right. We'll get that added in. And so overall, we're working in a surplus. Our expenses are not more than our revenues. So then we have to add in our deficit fund balance that we started the year with, and we are still in surplus of $80,000.
Yep. Good.
So we're looking good. Looking good to be back on track to get out of that deficit.
Yep.
All right, and then here is just the quick overview of revenue to expenses for FY25. And so this FY25 budget is basically divided by 12, and so this would be the portion that we would think we would spend. And so we are trending a little bit over that for month by month. I think we're going to be just fine, though, coming out in the end.
Yeah, okay.
All right, and then just our revenues in a pie chart.
Yep. I don't have any questions. You have any, Jeannie?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Trudy.
Yes, sir.
And our future agenda items. Do you have any future agenda items you want to talk about, Jeannie?
No, I don't think anything different than what we've already got on the list.
Okay. Tom, do you have anything you want to talk about future?
No, not at this time. I'll just add, you know, that we will see additional revenue from the meter enforcement hours being extended. And we're in the five-year plan that we'll present next month, we'll detail that. It's not all going to hit at once. It's going to kind of be spread out for the first fiscal year there. But we'll explain in further detail in November.
Yeah, that's understandable with the spread out implementation plan that the revenue would be. So it'd be interesting to see your numbers. So with that, then, I think we're ready to adjourn. So if anybody has anything else to say, let me know. Not hearing anything, we'll see you for the meeting on Tuesday and next month. So thanks, and good to see you, Andy.
Thanks.
Likewise, so. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye, guys. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye. Ooh.